At Planet Fitness, we're declaring it. This is the year of getting stronger. And future stronger you can get started now by saving $28 or more when you join today. You in? We have all the best-in-class equipment you could ever need to keep stepping it up. And free fitness training to help you mix up your routine. Plus, most clubs are open 24 hours. So let's do this. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more. Just $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends February 28th. See home club for details.
No character in this book is memorable and worth mentioning. Oh my. I gotta pause. That's the message you got out of this book?
Really? It's just incorrect.
It's just objectively wrong.
It's objectively wrong.
I think that's more than superficial.
I think that's more than surface level.
At least one layer.
At least layer two. Maybe it's a subjective whether it's mega or double stuffed.
Right. Doesn't
but
matter, though.
But it's at
though.
Least an Oreo.
Exactly.
We're there.
God damn it. This is wrong.
Did you read the book?
Is this rage bait? The author had an opportunity to write her as a strong female main protagonist. She is the strongest!
She is strong!
Protagonist I've ever read!
This fictional woman is pretty strong. She is really great. I think she is a role model. That's what I care about.
Da 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 da.
Welcome back to another Two to Ramble episode. I'm one of your hosts, Austin.
I'm your other host, Richard.
This is a very vile and sad episode today.
Sacrilegious, you
blasphemous, if you would say.
Blasphemous?
Precisely.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Because today we're going back to a series we did. We did this with Stormlight Archive, back with Way of Kings, back mm-hmm. in the day. We did this with Red Rising and Golden Sun, the goats themselves, the best books. We reacted to one-star reviews. Mm-hmm. And we pushed that aside because we thought, you know what, those videos are a bit too short. How are we going to make some substance out of that? This time, what I have presented for the book, The Goat Itself, The Sword of Kaigen by Emma Wong, one of the greatest pieces of literature ever written, 5 stars. We have two reviews out there of this book. We had one back in the day where we did a Sword of Kaigen spoiler-free, spoiler-free review. And then after soaking in the book even more, we had a video titled Sword of Kaigen is a Masterpiece, and that has full spoilers in there. We both give it 5 stars. Yes.
Yeah, 5 stars. It's
fucking incredible, and it's one of our favorite books here. And books that we both have high praise for, what we like to do is say, hey, why is it a masterpiece to both of us? Because if we both agree, it is true. What?
When I agree, yeah. It's true.
Okay.
I'm just happy with you tag along.
Okay. So then what we like to do is when we agree so hard on something, we do the masterpiece video, and then we do a reacting to 1-star reviews for this because we love it so much. We need somebody else to give the perspective of why they are so wrong.
Wonderful. I love trashing on people who are wrong.
Yes. You trash me all the time.
I know. It is my favorite pastime to tell people that they're wrong.
It is.
That's the best thing.
It's really wholesome.
It's the best part of my day.
What I have prepared here are 5 reviews in total. The first four are from Goodreads. And then I went to StoryGraph for the last one. I wanted to see what the others were saying on there. And it's only 5 reviews because they're longer reviews. And it's going to be detailed of why they hated the Sword of Kaigen. So obviously, tread lightly. This will be spoiling Sword of Kaigen. If you want to read this book, you want more of a pitch, go check out our spoiler-free reviews for Sword of Kaigen, giving you a 30-second pitch of this. Rich, what would you say to those people who need to go read this book?
Basically, do you really like Avatar The Last Airbender, but you want a little bit more grown up and going over, you like the themes of responsibility versus passion and the...
All right, we did a quick cut because Rich got in a little bit of spoiler territory.
Do you
want to give it another shot, Rich?
I'll try.
And pitch that book without saying a big spoiler.
I'll be more vague.
Be more vague.
Okay.
Be careful for these people. Then we'll spoil stuff.
Do you like the Avatar The Last Airbender, but you're now a little bit more grown up? You want to see what you could really do with those elements.
Mm.
The Sword of Kaigen is for you. I think the characters from this story draw me in deep. I have never gone on a wilder emotional roller coaster. Contention being like Lonesome Dove for me, but like were there on emotional roller coaster
rides.
That's
a lot for you to say.
That's a lot for me to say.
A lot.
I love these characters. I love the journey that M.L. Wang put me through.
Yes. So best characters ever. And on top
Wong,
of that,
sorry, yeah, I think I said it wrong.
I've said Wang and Wang. I think it is Wang. Yeah.
Okay.
And some best characters ever. And you will get action. You will get deep themes. Just please trust us with this. So. Yeah. Now, time to react to these one-star reviews. We're going to talk and spoil the Sword of the Kaigen. Are you ready for this?
Oh, I'm ready.
This first one, and what I'm going to do, since there's sometimes longer reviews, you tell me when to pause. You say, stop there. Tell me when to stop, and I'll stop, and we'll react. Or I'll naturally stop, and we'll talk about a point.
Gotcha.
We will do that.
We'll do it like a reaction-style content.
Correct.
But
we're learning.
But we're doing it from text, so YouTube gods can't actually demonetize or, like, you know, take our video
we're
down.
We're actually getting kind of good at this.
You're the one, like the two times we tried to put just a clip of, a very short clip of something
it's
in this
so
video.
It's so ridiculous.
It's ridiculous.
It's real bad. We took a 20-second clip from The Fablemans when we had Fonda Lee on to go, oh, look, Fonda Lee, here's this funny clip about a thing we're talking about of how, it won't give too much context, it's fine, but gave the clip to, showed Fonda Lee the clip. Whoever owns that movie, The Fablemans, made by Stephen King, but whatever production's behind it, obviously flags it and has an auto way to flag these films.
Not Stephen King.
What did I? Oh, Steven Spielberg.
Yeah.
Did I say Stephen King? Yeah. Yeah, Spielberg. Spielberg is the director of The Fablemans. And so then we gave a ushered a claim. I forget how you say it on YouTube, but tried to revoke the strike that they gave against it. Not strike. They were taking the revenue, whatever. And they reject it so quickly, too, just off a 20-second clip and an hour and a half long.
We're booktubers. We don't have to deal with this very often.
Yes.
It's really hard to do a copyright claim on a book.
You can see how flustered I am. I'm like, Stephen King came and attacked us. And like, I didn't even say the right name. I'm just like, I'm just looking at the nearest book in my... So, yes,
also,
it was very...
Scott, that was made in a hyperbolic nature. He does not mean... He's not legally claiming that Stephen King attacked us.
I love Stephen King. I meant no harm, and I'm not inciting violence. I am following Gainsborough v. Ohio. Is
Doesn't
that the
it
right
kind of suck that people actually watch his stuff now? That, like, there's consequences for us saying things?
Yes. Brandenburg v. Ohio. That's what I meant to say. That was the Supreme Court case. This is for our lawyer friend, Scott, who sometimes watches these episodes and goes like, guys,
you can't
say that, but we still do. We're sorry, Scott.
Yeah. One of these days, it's gonna bite us in the ass.
Also, we don't mean to say that, like, we have a lawyer. He's not literally a lawyer. He's a great friend who also happens to be a lawyer who gives us good advice.
Yes.
Yeah. We don't own him.
No. Yet. He is not on retainer.
Not yet.
We can't afford that.
No.
He's a good lawyer.
And he's also a huge member in the Patreon, the Discord. He comes to all the book clubs. We talked Sword of Kaigen all the time in the book club, and we had a book club back in the day. Also, there was a community book club on the Sword of Kaigen just last week.
I believe we read this book because of our own book club.
Did.
It was a voted. This is what our Patreon members voted to read for the month. And now one of our favorite books.
And we will have read and reviewed this by now, but Blood Over Brighthaven is our current one. We have the book up literally next weekend. But at this point, it will be, who knows when this video comes
started.
Up.
I still need to start.
Me either. We've had a long reading month.
Yeah, I've dropped the ball a little bit.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's get into it.
Yes, the first of these five one-star reviews. This is from Len. It's a one-star review on Goodreads. It's the most popular on Goodreads with 125 likes. So if you go to Goodreads, you click one stars. As of today, we're filming this January 27th, 2025. If you did 125 likes, you go look. This is the top review for the one star. Okay?
Okay.
This is coming from Len. The devil couldn't reach me, so he made me a hater of popular books. It's a good line.
It's pretty good.
Most of the time, people struggle writing reviews for books they loved. I've seen many of my mutuals say they can't really express their love properly and get it all into words. For me, it's the opposite. I struggle more with books I don't like, and it makes it difficult to really explain why. Sometimes I wish I ranted more or wrote reviews where I just yap and jot down everything that didn't work for me.
Like what we do.
That's pretty much what we do. Hmm. In this case, a lot of things went downhill pretty damn fast. I'm very curious where this goes. Okay. I will say, and aside from the review, I picked out these reviews. I skim read, so I don't know actually the substance of it. Like, okay, they make a point. Like, I read a point in there, said, okay, there's substance.
Oh, okay, they're not just
saying F you, Wang.
Yeah.
So, okay, here we go. Back to the review. The lack of world building is comical. I've seen reviews stating it's fantastic, but I sadly disagree. We are set to accept, believe, and understand how the world of this book works without having a proper understanding of its history. The historical fiction aspect is properly given for the book's world's history only, wars, political leaders, great powers, but we never learn how everything really came to be, how the powers work, how everything was set up to begin with, and how these people came to be. There's no backstory or information given to understanding the magical system. It's just something you need to accept and move on from. The author gives a couple pages of info dump on the world where one of the professors is explaining the history, which doesn't help whatsoever since it's info dumped and piled together. Never once does the author separate it. A glossary is provided at the end, which is a stupid decision in my opinion, as I've finished the book and had no idea it existed in the first place. So this whole time as I read, I struggled understanding what certain words meant, even though the definition and explanation was at the end to begin with. Despite that, I think the choice of putting it at the end of the book is dumb, and it still doesn't help since it's really not enjoyable reading words and having to go to the glossary every time to know what it means. We don't get any explanation on the magic system, we don't learn what certain terms mean, and we don't learn how these magical people actually came to be. Instead, glossary aside, we come to learn the magical system as the story unfolds, but it's not something the author herself actually tells us. This is simply weak, in my opinion. So that's the first paragraph and point. Reaction.
He's not entirely wrong, but it's also not the point of the story. If that was the focus of the story, then I think you'd have more of a point. But yeah, the world building itself is great for the Kanganese. Like the Sword of Kaigan mm-hmm. is really well done. The world is well described. I think the idea of a actually well-developed nation having this kind of cultural and technological backward civilization deliberately kept in the dark, deliberately segregated off from society as this shield wall for the rest of their nation is really interesting. All of that stuff is really well done. The setup to the magic. Yeah, I guess we don't know how it came to be, but I don't know. Do you expect that from every book?
Honestly, in Avatar: The Last Airbender, when we find out it's from the turtles and that, more so in Korra.
Yeah.
That was less cool than actually having the bending and learning the functionalities of it.
I didn't need to know that, you know, season one.
Yeah.
I could find that out later. It's not the most important aspect right then and there. So
the one point, so I give this book 5 stars. The point that this person's getting at as well with the info dump at the beginning in the lesson. Mm-hmm. My two critiques of this 6-star book are there's that little info dump portion in the school at the beginning, then the last chapter probably didn't need to be there.
Yeah.
Right. With that being said, the world building, you're exactly right, of the focus point isn't how did people learn how to water and ice bend and do the, how did they do the thing? How does that work? More so, this is a part of the world. And I guess how the world building, the work of the Sword of Kaigan, the masterful world building, in my opinion, is how the magic system incorporates with the themes and how
true.
Takeru, I hope I'm saying his name right, but one of my...
Is it Takeru?
Takeru, fucking phenomenal character. The magic system and his own character journey, he literally becomes and seeds out to the mountain and spreads his stresses and he takes all responsibility and literally, figuratively and literally, uses the magic system so that he does not have to confront what his actual corporal body is facing with all of his built up.
He's able to avoid responsibility and emotional reactions by using the magic system.
Literally, figuratively and literally, yeah.
Where another story, like very easily could be subbed in of a character avoiding the emotional turmoil or avoiding the responsibilities and the trauma that they're going through by drinking is a very common anomaly that could yep. fit in very well to this world, but instead of alcoholism, it's woven into the magic system,
which
in
is incredible.
A fun, unique way.
And to me, when we are brought to this world and it's what chapter one, and you see, whoa, okay, Sword of Kaigan, I'm getting very Japanese, very much a Eastern. Oh, okay. We're back in the 1600s. Then all of a sudden, I see a Game Boy. Or what was it? A GameCube. Now, I forget what PS. Whatever. There was technology right away.
Yeah.
To me, that was a hook that went, "Holy crap! How does this world function?" And then what you're talking about and going, "Ah, they're the bastion of the Eastern Front, essentially."
Yeah.
So that the society has to lie to these people so that they defend them, because otherwise they're screwed. And just also elevates how Takaru and Mamoru's teachers are these insane benders who are the best of the best, and you see why they are how magic and technology is able to mesh. What I sometimes don't like in my fantasy is when there's good stories with it, but the technology is so good that it takes over. Sometimes why I don't like some thrillers, I love thrillers, some films and some, not buddy cop, but just with guns. Guns nowadays, why I like going to my fantasies, because, okay, a gun, you shoot, it's over. All right, great. Mm-hmm. Lonesome Dove, okay. But it lets the magic still be an integral part of the story.
Man, we really got to get you reading Powder Mage.
I guess so.
It's the exception to the rule.
I'm down for it.
It's best of both.
Okay, great.
It does have that finality of there's still guns, but also the magic is important and still relevant, and it's awesome. Well-timed. Anyway, Brian McClellan gets some praise there. Great world building.
Nice job, Brian. And also the magic system here of they're such powerful benders. The reason that Takaru and Misaki are together in the first place is Misaki was one of the only people powerful enough to bear Takaru's children. The magic system, the benders are so powerful that childbearing is a massive burden. You die if you mate with a bender that's more powerful. So basically every turn in both the magic and the world elevates the themes of the story and elevates the personal traumas and lessons that the characters learn.
Yeah.
And there's nothing better for me than your world building directly relates to your theme. It's just lovely, lovely.
To steel man him as well, to give the negative side of things of outside of the Sword of Kaigen, outside of even the Kanganese, and we do get teases of what the larger
empire is like.
We'll
take Misaki's backstory.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We get teases, we get to see a little bit more, but the wider world, we get to know they're there, but we don't get a lot of knowledge about them. And I think even Emma Wong had talked about how that the bedrock of her story and her world building was fundamentally flawed and ultimately could not untangle the web of, if she were to continue with the story, a lot of things would break. And so the wider world probably does have a lot of problems, but the stuff we get is fantastic. But we're also teased of there's other stuff around, and in the nature of this book, that's enough. I know the wider world exists. It doesn't break my immersion, and it's enough. I imagine the problem would be if I explored those areas too much and it started breaking down, it would break my immersion.
It's an expectation of scope. I think Len was going, I want the detailed, I want 14 books of Wheel of Time of lore dump in here, but it's a standalone focused on character drama and guilt and regrets and trauma and relationships. So all of that packaged into here's how the magic system helps that develop. But also, I wouldn't want that all told to me. My complaint about it is I didn't like when the info dump in school happened. Going I don't remember any of that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember what. Do you remember what was said at school in the beginning parts? There's a little bit of history.
Interesting thing about that is trying to parse out the propaganda from the truth. Because it is the school, and it's like, okay, all of this is actually true. Some of this is propaganda. And so that's kind of fun. It's a fun way to, if you're going to do an info dump stuff, that's at least a little bit more interesting.
Yeah. And so to continue with the one-star review, and, this is being very respectful so far. If they start getting nasty, we'll double down. Right now we're being nice because that wasn't too bad. That was I understand why it's the most liked so far, because you can like that without going, okay, they're not trashing the book.
Mm-hmm.
They're giving a respectful one star. Okay, here's the next part from Len's review. Same review. The world is a mix of modern and fantasy. The modern aspect is a fictionalized world of historical Japan, with some of its cultures and traditions derived from its historical years, including gender norms, languages, clothes, work environments, and manners. The fantasy aspect of it is much more complex. There's powers and magic, which has a prominent role in the main characters since the beginning. However, once again, the magic system is never explained, and instead something you just need to follow along through and figure out on your own. Considering this is the Theonite series, I'm set to believe the previous books actually have an explanation for it all. Okay, I think we already addressed some of that stuff. Yeah.
Well, we're already finding out that, like, he doesn't know that this is the first and only book.
This is a standalone.
This
is it.
So.
No. Ends here.
There is no previous books to explain it.
That's it. Five. So here's a perfection and leaves. And to continue, this is the next paragraph of the review. I found it quite interesting when Mamoru started learning the real side of his empire/country. He learned about how the empire's media continuously lies to its people for the sake of their sacrifices and devotion. A bit familiar, if you ask me. That aside, I was beginning to think he would become a revolutionary and stand up for all the injustices and lies. Misaki's past also has a revolutionary side to her, which was actually cool to see. But in the end, the author makes an unnecessary choice for Mamoru and decides to leave Misaki with the settlers. It was honestly really disappointing to see Misaki practically give up everything she went through and learned in the past. Comparing this to the Poppy War trilogy does it a disservice, and I'm tired of seeing the comparisons. Rin never get... Okay, that's spoilers for the other stuff, so I won't say that, but she compares it to Poppy War. I couldn't disagree more with anything in my life than that portion of the review.
Also, we won't go into details. I didn't like the Poppy War. Probably for the exact reason why he liked it.
don't spoil Poppy War, but
I'm not, but like, yeah, exactly. I didn't like Poppy War. I love the Sword of Kaigen. It would be so easy to just talk about how all of the trauma that Misaki goes through and just like abandon everything and leave. But what's so fascinating and so hard and real is her accepting all these things that happened to her, but also realizing that the love for her children are still there. And
take this even the step before that.
Even before that.
Before that, she didn't love her children because her hate for her husband seeded down to her children.
Mm-hmm.
And to realize that she gets this love for her children when it's too late, she realizes, wait, they're not just all Takaru, they're also half of me. That even though I despise this man who's been abusive toward her and has been neglectful, has been bad to her. Because I forget I don't know if he physically harmed her, but at least emotional abuse at the very least.
It is, I think it's appropriate to say like it is mostly emotional abuse, but there is a physical component to it.
It's still bad.
Yeah,
bad.
It's bad.
And
it's
so
bad.
Hates her children because of what Takaru has done to her and that their relationship, realizes that, wait a second, I've never given my kids even the opportunity.
Seeing that her kids are not just her husband's, but also a part of herself.
Exactly.
And she never got to see that.
And then getting to your point where,
valuing her children over, a potential, she has to value the things that she desires versus the thing that she loves at that point. In not even just loves, but wants to love in that case. She wants to have this relationship with her children that she missed out on with her son Mamoru. And even another layer, before even that revelation, she loves her family. She loves her culture. And the promise of familial love that her parents and her father always promised her is something she deeply wants. She values that. And that's not irrelevant. That's not something to dismiss lightly. Of you look at all of the background of like her and Robin, and the passion, the love, the interest, the excitement, and she likes all that. That is a part of her. But she wants the love, respect from her family, and she wants the love that a mother has for her children. She wants that more.
Which made it all the more depressing when she finally had children and didn't feel that love.
Yeah.
So she was facing
that.
She did what her father told her to do,
mm-hmm.
and still felt horrifying. So she felt like she should have gone with Robin. She should have escaped. She should have lived the good life.
And she felt she was not on, like, she was robbed, that she did everything that she was supposed to, and she still did not get what she wanted, which was that love for her children. So didn't come. She felt she was robbed, but then discovers along the way.
Yeah.
Oh, and then it's tragic it's so that beautiful. She loses it too late.
And then she actually...
But that is not... I just want to say, like, yeah. She didn't throw that away. She valued something more than that. Mm-hmm. And it's important for, yes. I think, us as the reader to not discount that.
Yep, definitely. And then having the duel scene and the communication with Dakaru and his revelations mm-hmm. as well that mm-hmm. showed they were both dealing with something. Not that everything is justified, not that everything is okay, but now they're going forward, not healed, but healing. In a way, and they're able to actually the death of Mamoru and the grief they go through changes the family, makes her realize what she should prioritize. She doesn't look back on the decisions she made with just pure regret and like, I want to change everything. You made your decisions. Now, how do you make a life out of it going forward? Like, that's stunning. So I couldn't agree more with or couldn't disagree more with. Also, the point in this paragraph
Mamoru
of,
and the revolutionary.
Yeah.
That
revolutionary point with Misaki and Mamoru's past. Sorry to cut you off. Go ahead.
No, yeah. Keep going. Sorry.
Yeah. The revolutionary part with both the reviewers getting at here of Mamoru and Misaki both having that revolutionary thing and says, in quotes here, I was beginning to think he would become a revolutionary and stand up for all the injustices and lies, end quote. So that portion thing, the expectation of going, I want that revenge story of Mamoru. I want that Misaki coming up and sticking it to the man. I could see that not working. For somebody else, I'll give the credit of like, okay, if you expected the revolution, the fight, and then halfway point, whoa, now this has turned into a family drama, or this, I do think mm-hmm. it promised a family drama early on.
I did too.
So I was expecting family drama early on, but then for it to turn that on its head, that is far more interesting to me than another. This is what gets me too. The review also says, in quotes, a bit familiar if you ask me when talking about the Empire media's lying, da 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 da. Then continues to go, I was expecting a revolutionary kind of a, well, that's a bit familiar to me.
Yeah.
I would say to you, sir, you, sir, are the fodder and I am the cannon. Ha! I like that line. I'm gonna use that. Let me write that down.
Well, no, I actually thought the exact same thing where I was going like, hey, this is pretty cool. I like the action. I like the characters. But I thought I knew where this story was going. Of Misaki, you know, staying with her husband, escaping, and then Mamoru, like, they're both revolutionaries, and then they go on to take down the Empire. And, like, I was expecting that and going, like, oh, that would be okay. Be fine.
Yeah.
It would be an acceptable story, but also not something unique and something I've seen before. This is something new.
Yes.
This is something fresh.
Indie published.
And that's the thing of a character death that when you feel, oh, they were gone too soon.
Mm-hmm.
Look at this is where they could have gone. It's the best. That's the best kind of character death is when you in your mind's eye see, what great futures that this character could have had, what the setup could be. And life was stolen too short. Like, feels so... It hurts.
It does hurt.
But that's the point. Mm-hmm. It gets that emotional reaction out of you. Like, it's not as impactful when a character that has completed their journey and then, like, they've done everything and then they die. And it's like, it's sad, but also they've accomplished
it. From page one, they're just happy.
No, we're not doing that. We're not doing it in this video, too.
Every video?
No.
It's just... So, if you've read the book, you know what we're talking about, but we will not spoil what the book is.
No.
Every video just like,
no.
Okay.
We will stay on topic this time. It will not devolve.
Do you want the next part of the review?
Go ahead.
Okay.
By the way, I do want to notice we intended to do 5 of these.
Do you want me to go to the next review or continue with this review?
No, keep going.
Keep going with this review?
But it may only be a 3 of it. 3 reviews.
Okay, maybe 3. Okay,
yeah, we'll see.
What? Oh, yeah, we are. Okay, I see. We like to ramble. Okay, next part of the review says, I cannot get behind how the author portrays the groups of this world. Brown people are the oppressors, and white people are the oppressed. Hadians, what's Hadian? Hadians, oh, that's part in the world. I forgot what Hadians were. Hadians are basically the most oppressed group in the world, essentially the slaves. In elementary school, Misaki had been told that Hadians' light colored hair and eyes were signs that they were a more primitive variety of human, closely related to dogs and monkeys who shared their coloring. Please read that again. I won't read it again, but even though Ellen's gold hair and pale eyes were a bit frightening, perhaps because they were a bit frightened. frightening. Misaki found them beautiful. She had decided that if Aline was related to any animal, it was something dignified and dangerous, like a leopard or a falcon. Please also read that again. Okay, let's stop there. Like, I don't even remember that detail. Are you remembering what he's referring to with the hair?
Not particularly.
Okay, do you have any comment?
No. I mean, what's his problem here? Like, continue on. Like, what's the problem?
Yeah.
Of the nature.
Okay, let's see what they're getting at. Okay.
A historical Japanese fantasy having racism in it. Oh, yeah, that's.
I think this clarifies. Says, okay. And the reason this paragraph is at this is the review. And the reason this paragraph is added, the one that I was just read before, is because we're learning about one of Misaki's friends, Aline, from her past, who is Haitian. From the glossary, Hades is the westernmost country in the continent of Namedugu, a former Yamakan colony, the original homeland of most of Duna's Aidens. Emma Wang really said, "In my world, white people are the oppressed and the slaves." Ha, imagine. In the end, what this book shows, I think this is the point that the person's trying to make.
Okay.
In the end, what's this book show? If you're refusing settler rule, you're bad. Ignoring what the author tries to paint in this book with her characters, it still shows the end message clearly. Colonizers win. That's the message you got out of this book?
Really?
That's the message you got out of this book? And I guess to respond to that, so it looks like they're dissecting, looking, like trying to read into race into the book, and then their own worldview is projecting through to go, you're promoting colonizers. When what Emma Wang is doing here, like, I think the grievance is coming from, tell me if I'm incorrect with their interpretation of, because Misaki's still with Takaru in the end, and the they don't fight against the empire. Because of that, they still have to live under colonizers' rule. Like, they didn't revolt. I think that's what the critique is coming to, because from the right?
No, just the nature of,
I think that's
okay,
the critique.
So in this fantasy book, people of lighter skin are the ones that are oppressed. So?
What's the issue?
What's the issue?
Yeah.
It's the fantasy world. Yeah.
Me personally, you know, my gripe in fantasy, if I see a Hyundai drive by, then I'm like, that would bother me, because I'm like, why are there cars in my fantasy world? Like, to throw a little twist on race or culture, like,
yeah,
all right, let's get into that. So that's the thing that I think they're getting at here, of they don't like the fact that there wasn't a revolution, where the whole thought-provokingness and why the message hits so home, it's a bitter sweetness, and the death of Mamoru, all of that together shows you how it's a family drama and focal point is on them. It's not about this big revolution, and it's about all the stories maybe throughout history. I mean, even to pander to the reviewer here, like, think of all the stories throughout history of the lives lived of people under an oppressed ruler, light skin, dark skin, whatever.
Just
think of a story of
the lives of families and individual people
who just can't revolt, right?
In oppressive cultures are just as valuable as the revolutionaries.
Yeah.
Like, not every story needs to, like, there are so many people that live in hard times that ultimately, like, find purpose with their family. And that's a valuable story in and of itself. It's, yes, Misaki doesn't overthrow the empire in this book, but also she finds love for her family and children and starts to develop an actual proper relationship with her husband. That's valuable.
Extremely.
That's a valuable story. And not every story has to be like, oh yeah, the evil empire went down. Like, okay, we got those stories too, but not every story has to be that.
In Red Rising, you know, I get my action over there.
That's where we get them.
So, yeah, just completely disagree with that. Not necessarily even the interpretation of, like, I guess I could see through their worldview, like, why they're saying, oh, there wasn't revolution, the colonizers win, but just why one, the value of.
Also, I don't think the Kanganese are colonizers. As far as I know, I believe, like, they're the.
The world thing they're saying, that the Hades, the westernmost country, the detail of it is beyond me too, because.
Sure, but Kaigan.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that is there. Like, there's no indication that those people are colonizers. Like, they are the historical natural people of that land.
No, generally. I think what they're saying, because there's like Len's talking about an aside of a friend, Aline, from her past, who is Haitian, and the glossary states like it's a westernmost country, and just the fact that the white people are impressed in this world. It's like a mention or something like that. It's a part of the world. It's not, I don't even know if it's a focal point. It's just like a part of the broader world building, which I can't even remember because.
Fair enough. I guess we could be wrong. Maybe the Kanganese do have colonies.
Just to show how much of the point it's not of the novel to focus on. It's like, I don't remember the fact that in the glossary it says Hades, the westernmost country of the continent. I don't remember that whatsoever. But also, I think we addressed the point to death.
Fair enough.
So, sorry, did you have something else to add on to it? Because
that's fine.
Very much disagree. So this next portion, you want me to continue with this person's review?
The whole video may just be this person.
Just digging in.
Like, this guy.
Fuck you. Okay, here's the next part. No character in this book is memorable and worth mentioning. Oh my. I gotta pause. Have you ever not known somebody personally? You just read a comment online, you know you'd never get along.
Yeah.
I just have to accept that, if they ever watch this one day, what a part two this would be. If you ever see this, reach out to us at tutoramble@gmail.com. We'll have you on.
Let's comment on their Goodreads.
Message us on Goodreads, yes.
Well, no, let's comment below them. So like, hey, we want to talk with you.
We want to talk. I want to, you know chat. Why? Because I could be antagonistic. I would never be friends with you. Or I could go, they're just misdirected.
Yeah.
And we need to help them see the light.
Here's the thing. It is fine for two worldviews to not line up.
Yes.
It just means we can't live in the same world together. A little bit of my Sun Eater is coming out.
Only one.
Only one worldview gets to exist.
You talked about colonizing.
Wait until you see we're colonizing BookTube.
Can I repeat this line they say, though? No character in this book is memorable and worth mentioning. Now, let me repeat that, because they said in this review a couple times, let's repeat a line. Let me repeat that. No character in this book is memorable or worth mentioning. Again,
they read the book wrong.
There's no other way of talking about it. Like, it gets me, you know that we had this conversation about objective versus subjective.
Every character except Robin is worth mentioning. And even then,
Robin's still fine to mention.
Fine to mention.
But yes, of all the Mamoru, Takaru. Oh my God. Is it Sasuke? Oh, Misaki's two friends. Holy fuck. Misaki's children and the line about her 5-year-old child talking about how, he's sad about Mamoru's death because he won't ever be able to best his brother.
Ooh.
But you know that's coming from a place of love. The way he views death is like, now I won't. But what do you mean I can't?
He doesn't know how to process the loss of his brother.
Other
than the way their culture has like set up the importance of fighting and battle and honor, all these things. And so Misaki's looking at this like a little bit horrified that is how he's processing
culture.
But that is the culture. And hopefully Misaki can impart more of, now she has an opportunity to not be a standoff, like give more of herself to her children. But I think that's a point for her to learn of, like, I have not done enough. Like, I clearly was not doing enough for Mamoru.
Yes.
And now I have an opportunity to do more for him. And
bravo.
Yeah.
Bravo. So I'll start this paragraph again. No character in this book is memorable and worth mentioning.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The events at the 50% mark are rather anticlimactic and underwhelming. We're set to root for our main characters, Misaki and her teenage son, Mamoru, but both characters are inherently weak, underdeveloped, and feel superficial. Okay, again, I was trying to go on this tangent, Rich, of, you know, we talk about objective versus subjective looking at art. Art is objective. Art is subjective.
Yeah, it's subjective, but
when we talked about, I want to have another episode on that. Yes, art is subjective, but there's the, what did we call it? Subjective universality. That was the word.
That sure.
When critics, 99% agree, usually there's something there that could be agreed upon is da 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 da.
There has to, the idea that there is truth out there and that we are imperfect to actually, like, it is not that truth doesn't exist, it's that we are human and imperfect in finding it. Mm-hmm. The evidence of this is there are things that, yeah, we all 99% agree on for like all, like, okay, clearly something's going
clearly,
on.
Clearly
this is right, yes, and that's wrong. Like, we can get some basic stuff out of the way. It's where we...
The gray is hard, the middle. Yeah.
But sometimes it's like, kicking puppies and then, you know, laughing at them and, you know, tearing them up like they're,
confetti.
You know, like, yeah. KFC. Yeah. Like, you know, ripping it off. Like, not good. Mm-hmm. Bad. Not good to do. And it's pretty easy. That's like, I like it when morality's easy.
Mm-hmm.
It's things like this. There are no characters worth mentioning in the Sword of Kaigen, and that they're underdeveloped and surface level.
I just can't see that. I can't see the validity.
It's just wrong.
So when,
it's just incorrect.
It's just objectively wrong.
It's objectively wrong. Of everything in this, like everything else they said before this.
Personal opinion,
yes. Subject. Like, I can see his point. I disagree with it, but that's just wrong.
But to say the underdeveloped and feel superficial. Now, here again, saying the word feeling. When we're talking, I liked when we talked about prose with Philip Chase, for example, mm-hmm. talking objective and subjective feelings. Man, this review's got us so much. We're talking about what's right and wrong. When we were talking about objective and subjective view of what makes good prose, for example. The more micro you get, the more objective it can feel. Like, hey, how is the use of commas and how which form and which book has more guttural quick pace to it and which is more purple prose and which uses more verbs and adverbs? You can more objectively, like, hey, this one has more adverbs. Objectively, yeah. This one has more. Now, you could feel you like the one with more adverbs better. You could feel like you like this one. Now, this statement's getting at the adverbs versus verbs things. It's as if this person is saying, hey, this book does not have verbs in it. And then I show you book and I go, well, yeah. Look, here's the use of a verb. Clearly, there's a verb in this book.
You may not like the development of the characters. But they are characters worth mentioning. They are not surface level because there actually is many things mentioned that go beyond the surface of just a character that fights. Like, oh, this character is just good at swords. That would be surface level.
Even the uncle has depth.
Yeah. Oh, for me, one of my favorite parts is, Masaki's friend, the uncle's wife, mm-hmm. and how she...
How she deals
with his death.
Oh, my God. There's so much to talk
about. How she is not as sad as Masaki would have thought. She is incredibly devastated that her husband is dead, but goes beyond saying, like, I lived with him and I know that he's a warrior and fighter. And he was dying inside being the head of a school. He was dying inside being forced behind a desk. And the number one thing he wanted in life was to die in a battle worth fighting for. That was the greatest thing he ever wanted.
He didn't want to be a mayor and
he got it.
Stuff.
He got what he wanted most in life. And even though that took him away from her, she loved him so much that she was at least happy he got what he really wanted.
I think that's more than superficial.
I think that's more than surface level.
At least one layer.
At least layer two. And that's the side character. We got
halfway through the Oreo, okay? At least. I'm not saying that we eat the whole Oreo, but
we're not saying it's double stuffed.
We're at the white stuff. At least at the white stuff.
It's not, maybe it's a subjective whether it's mega or double stuffed.
Right. Doesn't matter, though.
But it's at least an Oreo.
Exactly.
We're there.
God damn it. We're not getting through review two, are we?
No. Okay. No, this is all one guy. Hey, Dina Ram responds to this guy on this? Goodreads.
We got to just post this on the comment. Oh, no,
we're going to post this right under his comment.
Post link and nothing else.
Yeah.
We say this.
We should do this more often. A whole hour-long response to people's reviews.
A series where we just shit on each other.
We do the turnaround. We do the same thing for Name of the Wind positive reviews.
Yeah, we just go. Oh my god.
Oh, we're such. Oh god. We're such internet shitheads.
One review. Yes.
I love it.
Yeah. Okay. This is fun. Okay. Next. So again, coming off the point of this person saying it's superficial, this is the next point. Misaki's character is simply disappointing. I mean, it's just going to keep getting egregious. Misaki's character is simply disappointing. It felt as if she was nothing but a mother and a devoted wife who couldn't defend herself.
Yeah, and nothing but a mother. Ugh, who are they?
And wouldn't be able to come out of her spot. Can I just comment too? Even if that's the case, let's even take that at I can't even take it at face value because of the fact that she says couldn't defend yourself. What about the duel scene? Like, just objectively speaking.
The duel, her fighting to save her children, her, like...
This is wrong.
Did you read the book?
Is this rage bait? Are we giving in?
You're just wrong.
Okay, continuing. The author had an opportunity to write her as a strong female main protagonist. She is the strongest protagonist I've ever read! It doesn't get better. That's all you have. You don't have Rey Skywalker. You have Misaki. Name another one. Who's better?
Ridley? No. Misaki. Misaki all the way.
She's my favorite character.
She's a great.
Ever.
Strong female. She's the strongest fighter.
She's not even physically, though. Essentially flawed, inspirational, actually goes through essential character development to not make me care about her past, her present, where she's going to be in the future. She's not just purely, oh, I'm strong, going to revolt, and I'm badass, go me, queen.
I have no flaws at all.
She's
I'm going to beat that man, and I'm just going to, I don't need nobody.
No.
I don't need my kids. I don't need my parents. I don't need my husband. I don't need my family members. I am an island. I need no one, because I'm strong. I need no familial relations at all, because I'm so strong.
Solitude and loneliness is the real strength.
What the hell? Okay. She's a pillar of her community, a pillar that brings her community together and keeps them from falling apart.
Yes.
No.
Unacceptable. Unacceptable.
Keep going. Oh, God. I'm getting more and more first time that he got some points and we're being respectful.
It's just going deeper and deeper.
Mm-mm.
Okay. So I'm not even going to continue that first half of the sentence. Go to the second half. But instead, she chose to stick with the usual, traditional, common female leads. That's the opposite of the common female lead. The common female lead is, typically, some people are afraid to give flaws to their characters and be like, female or male lead, too. I want this person to be so liked, I can't present them with actual flaws. So let me make them so rootable that they lose any credibility as a realistic or an inspirational character. Because you present them as just perfect and being able to conquer all and thinking that they know it all. And then they just come across arrogant and the audience pushes away and going why should I be invested? There's no conflict. Where's the internal turmoil again? So I would say I don't know what they're reading to see that that's a common character trait. This is incredibly unique. Okay. Anyways, but instead we choose to stick with the usual traditional common female leads we see in every sort of media. She's weak, uninspiring, two-dimensional, and offers nothing new in the fantasy world. I don't care that this is a historical fantasy and caters to gender norms and expectations. From a fantasy author, I expected the author to have given her an arc showing her worth and strength.
Did you read the book?
Buddy.
They didn't read the book. That's the only conclusion I can think of is they didn't read the book.
Oh my god. This makes me think when I might never give a book a one star out of fear of looking like a fucking idiot. Our lawyer Scott, that this is all in jest and we're not actually saying to do any harm. Like, this is all in jokes. Nothing going out bad towards a person. Scott, we got you.
Everyone is allowed to have bad opinions.
Yes. This is coming after the opinion. I've done this to Rich. Rich has done this to me. This person should be graced that you're in on it. You now get to be one of the boys, okay?
That's the best part. We can be hyper energetic.
Yeah, with our...
their books. Like, we're not talking about, like,
you as a
actual
person.
real policy changes.
When you look at, we're coming on 50 minutes in, of we're being this vocal about, ooh, words on page.
Yeah.
Ooh.
I like the story.
The 26 letters of the alphabet.
This fictional woman is pretty strong. She is really great. I think she is a role model. That's what I care about. What are you fucking... God. Two-dimensional and weak. What book did you fucking read? Weak. Even in the depths of even in the beginning of the story of her going through all this suffering of being with Takaru and being able to weather it, trying to weather this emotional storm inside of her for the sake of her children, for the hope that one day she will receive the feeling of love that she has always been promised and wants. Like,
come on. Come on.
The strength from her not, like, slicing Takaru's neck. That's a strength in of itself.
There's strength in mercy.
There is strength in her not cutting the bitch. Mm. Because I felt it. I wanted to kill Takaru several times in
this
book.
What a dick.
What a dick. I wouldn't have been as strong.
Yeah.
But she held back because she wanted something greater, and she desired it above all, even the suffering to herself.
And then I'm seeing the next paragraph talks about Takaru, but I do want to emphasize how Takaru just completely flipped me, going from next paragraph.
Okay.
We'll talk Takaru. Okay. So continuing for the review. Instead, majority of the story takes place with her being a mother and a measly wife. We've bashed him enough. Okay. To an abusive, toxic husband, unable to really stand up for herself and her son, and end up relying on her husband until the end. The blurb makes it sound like Misaki claws her way back to her past, where she was able to hold her ground. All Misaki did was downgrade. She gives her husband another chance because of her kids, and even admits it herself. What a reductive way of talking about this entire story.
Fuck.
There's no rage, anger, or regrets. You did not read this book.
You didn't read the book.
Just her sticking through it. Her son, Mamoru, comes across someone we, as the reader, most likely anticipate him to be strong and fierce warrior, but is, unfortunately, just a kid with big dreams. What the author did to him didn't help in any way. Instead, the author's tactics here felt lazy and unoriginal. The book is less than 700 pages of no character development and zero growth. My God.
My fucking God. The amount of arrogance I do kind of play up for the YouTube.
Yeah.
And also just in daily life because I think it's funny.
Mm-hmm.
I act the same way in
of
our
course.
Friend group.
Of
but
course.
Yeah. It's funny. Even I know. I know I've been wrong at times. I know I have opinions that maybe my perspective is just so colored that I don't see the universal truth.
It's good to go into conversation thinking that the other person knows more than you.
Exactly.
You know.
Well, I know also I've read stories where my personal emotions have affected me, where I'm not seeing the story in a perfectly clear light. That my emotions are getting in the way of appreciating what the story
honestly,
is going
Jade
for.
Jade City. I Probably. Really didn't like Jade City, but.
But yeah. Here's the thing. I don't think I've ever been as wrong as this person is in my entire life. I don't think I've ever been that far off base. Like, I've been
off
base before.
But not that off base.
Like, he was like, you know, the Yankees are taking the pitch and he's off at an NBA stadium. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, he's in a different
also,
game.
Also, their name's Len. I don't know if he, she, I don't know. But
I don't care. It gets the...
No, I want to...
I don't know. I'm not valuing their opinion.
Here's all I'm saying is when we post this to Len...
Oh, yeah.
I want to be...
Hey, Len.
I want to be clear.
You're welcome to come on the podcast.
I am thoroughly invested in talking to this person and going... What happened in your life to be so wrong? I also understand.
How do I get to avoid this?
To convince someone of your position, usually you don't come out as such a boisterous, condescending way. So we hope it doesn't come across like that. We're just passionate about our story. However, if you came on, this would be beautiful.
Especially.
You're also stupid.
To you there, we would be honest.
Curveball on it.
But respectful.
Yes.
We're not going to bully you. But I'm just so fascinated with how wrong you are.
Genuinely fascinated.
And I got to know more.
We have to. You've actually done your job at a review is meant to provoke your personal feelings and get others to either strongly agree or disagree and have conversation around it. So in that, you succeeded.
Yes.
In your review and substance of the review... You failed miserably, but you did the job. I would hope our reviews bring such emotions
yes,
out of people. You know?
I do too.
I would hope.
You always get a reaction out of me with Wheel of Time. It always brings
it's
it up.
Shit.
It boils. It boils deep inside, and one day it's going to come out.
So, okay, continuing the review.
Wait, Takaru stuff.
It's happening right now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it is the next line. So,
got it.
Here's the review. It's also laughable how the author expects us to feel sympathy and acceptance for Misaki's husband, Takaru. I love deranged and unethical characters in my books, but what I don't like are abusive male leads who show no sense of humanity, sympathy, or love for the entire book, only for them to give us a bullshit-ass excuse of his life for a short amount of page time and magically have a whole change of heart. More than 70% of the book, Takaru spends being unloving, cold, and unjust only for him to have a 360 change of heart and suddenly realize his family needs him. There is never an ounce of hope of character development and growth from him. Never once do we see him regret his actions and choices from before and show us that he's worth giving a second chance to. Now, this is where we are going to talk about Takaru and that moment in the car.
Let us have that moment. So,
yes.
I'll explain my part.
I'll say real quick this. Just because this was our book club book for the patron. Hey, if you want to join us for book clubs, again, check that description, the link in the description below. We were having the book club on this. We have it at the end of the month. I started the book. This never happens where I start the book right away, finished it in a couple days because I loved it that much. I finished it super quick. You didn't even touch the book yet because we usually wait till end of the month. I'd finished the book and I was ranting. I'm raving. I was like, Rich, got to do this, whatever. And then this is where you come in.
So I was at the chapter right before the duel. Right before, like it was, I finished that chapter and we get in the car to go have dinner. And I'm talking, like, I know you've already finished it, so I get to rant and rave. And I just like, I'm just gonna get this off my chest.
My face is
you don't get to respond.
Stoic.
I understand this.
Straight.
And I was ranting at him. I'm going like, what the fuck is Takaru doing? Like, I want Misaki to just fucking leave his ass. What the fuck is he? He is, I thought he was the one, just the worst character. Of like, I'm really loving everything else, but Takaru does not make sense.
Honestly, an insane level and incoherency.
An
you're
insane
going,
incoherence. I'm like, how can someone be that disconnected from their emotions and the reactions of people around them to abandon his responsibility to his children and his people? He didn't make sense to any degree. And then on top of that, all of the emotional and physical abuse that he... did to Misaki. I'm going like, fucking leave. Yeah. Fucking get, like,
makes no
drop
sense to
this
stay.
Piece of shit.
Yeah.
Then the duel happens. Like, literally, as soon as I get out of the car, I'm reading
I
that
was
part.
Itching to talk.
Oh my God. This is not like a 180 turnaround of, oh my God, Takaru is so sympathetic. Like, oh, he's actually the protagonist. He's actually the good guy. No, he does terrible shit.
His abuse isn't justified.
It isn't justified?
He goes from incoherent to you deeply.
Understand.
Yes.
Now you understand him. And the abuse is not justified by understanding, but a future, there is no future of their relationship in any circumstance of an incoherent like, if he was just villainous and for basically no reason, and but after the duel, you see all the abuse, and then you see why of his, the abuse that he has suffered, which, one, if you happen to know, abuse tends to be cyclical. Of like, that is a very common thing. And he saw the emotional and physical abuse that his father treated his mother, who ultimately died because of a lot of this stuff, died because of him, his birth.
And the literal magic and power
his
they
brother's
have.
Birth. Yep. And then seeing the physical and mental torture of how much his father was pushing her. And him never wanting to cause that kind of pain to Misaki, thought the right answer, instead of being pushing all of this responsibility and pushing all of expectations onto her, was saying, I won't do the same thing that was done to my mother. I will give her space. I know that she doesn't want to be with me. I know. I get it. This was an arrangement. She hates me. I get it. The right answer is to be as far away as possible. And, like, we're going to do what we have to do for the sake of the family. Like, the children part is, like, look, this is part of the family tradition. Like, but I will do my best to be distant, because I think that's what she wants, because I know she hates me. And I don't want to push expectations. I'm not going to ask anything of her, because that's what my father did to my mother. And I don't want that. Now, is he wrong? Yeah, he's wrong. But at least I understand him now. I get it. And then, on top of that, the magical response of how he copes with pain and emotional pain is he can feed his emotion and his sensory, basically he could feed his senses and his emotions into the environment, allowing him to sense all around him through his magic, which makes him incredibly powerful, but also emotionally like the mountain, which is a beautiful way to show it. One, his tying the magic system into his emotional growth and his emotional flaws. And that's such that turn.
Back to the magic being great, yeah.
Turn it all around. Misaki is the victim, but she has flaws. She realized her mistake after that, going, you know what? He didn't communicate with me. That is on him. But I also never tried to understand him. I never pushed. I never tried to actually have a proper conversation with him. I never even made the attempt. I just had my rash, and I never even broached the subject. All of the pain that I kept in, all of my disagreement, all of the pain that she had and disagreement with how she was treated, she never voiced, and so he never understood. And so now they're finally at a point of
they're communicating.
Healthy communication of it's not perfect, but it's a start. They now actually have mutual respect for each other, of like both as combatants and also as people, mother, father. Like,
precisely.
Ah, the message being healthy communication is important to a relationship. Oh, yeah. Terrible.
And the tragedy of it being it took the death of their child get there. And that's
what an emotional the dialogue between them of talking about. Wow. I gotta read that duel scene again.
Me too.
God.
And that was the joy of hearing you in the car talking mm-hmm. about how frustrating Takaru is. I had the same exact reactions going, I'm loving this book, but Takaru's frustrating me.
Yeah.
Insanely, because I'm going, he's just a stand-in evil husband character
That's
for the sake of
is.
Being evil
yeah.
for Misaki's growth. As soon as the duel happens, as soon as you understand him, the review said that this is a 360 unjust, and they're right about it. So it's him being cold and unloving. They don't go the depth beyond of explaining why was he cold? Why was he seemingly unloving? To Takaru, that was his way of showing love because of his parents' example. Mm-hmm. That was him going, oh, I'm doing the right thing. No, you're not. But you now understand the character. I had the same reaction as you, and just going, holy shit. That's incredible.
Yeah.
I've never been left with a book where I for a moment, and Misaki is my favorite character from the book,
mm-hmm.
but it was close. It was going Takaru Mamaru, even the side characters.
What a wonderful, like, I think one of the best parts of the last chapter really does have it. I don't like the last chapter, but the best part about it was showing that first step of Takaru seemingly, seemingly like being really upset with Misaki of just going off and like going after these different villains. Like she was spying on this group and she was doing this whole thing. And he was upset. And she was like, I thought we had this conversation. Like, I can take care of myself. I'm a fighter. You don't have to, like, put me in a box. Like, I'm not some little bird you want to keep in a cage. And he's like, I'm not upset that you went off. I'm upset you didn't talk to me.
The communication.
Like, that is what we learned. I respect you on this, but also we're husband and wife. Like,
we should talk.
My not only, like, important decisions like you spying on the Empire and possibly getting caught. That's an important thing. I think you should run by me. He then follows that up with, I would like your input on this important speech I'm going to give to our people. I want your opinion on it. Mm-hmm. This is an important thing that we're going to do, and I need your input. The same way that he wants to have knowledge and input in an important decision that she makes.
Yep.
That he's at least making a step of proper communication. And acting as a unit.
And trusts her enough where he invites Robin.
Yeah.
Trusts her enough that we are married and this is not a I half trust you. I do not have to watch over your every step and second. Talk to me with big problems, just like the going off doing the rebellious stuff. As I'm looking to your advice for this thing I'm writing right now. If you actually follow this in general, take away Takaru, the bad things he did, take away the death of a kid and all that. So take that as just general marriage advice. You're going to have a happy life. It's genuinely that ending and between them. You show how they are starting to heal through this process. And just those little moments.
It's also not perfect because you also do see like he is
still demanding.
Still like he's clearly uncomfortable with the new place his wife really is and uncomfortable with how like physically strong she is and like such a fighter and her personality. But
he's new to this.
But he does respect her.
Yep.
Like he has gained, like they have both gained mutual respect for each other. Fighters to lovers kind of thing of now that they both see each other as people to respect, even if they don't completely understand, even if they don't completely love, that's a place to start.
Yes.
Wonderful. That was such a wonderful moment for me reading it. That was so fun to be able to be in that car. And then, like, we got home. Right, I afterwards. Read the chapter. And then I went back to you, like, that same day going, like, I was wrong. I was really wrong.
Yeah. That blew me away.
Yeah,
blew me away. And sorry, your point on the respecting your quote enemy or respecting someone that Takaru and Misaki in this case,
they saw each other as obstacles in their own life.
I'm looking for the right word. Keep going. Yeah.
Misaki saw Takaru as something to be avoided, something to be like. Before.
Yeah,
not someone worthy of respect, someone to be feared and avoided as an kind of an obstacle to her happy life. Mm-hmm. Takaru saw Misaki as an obstacle to be like avoided with all.
Well,
like
yeah,
I don't want
avoid,
to hurt
avoided, but also as he has to protect her and can't communicate with her because she needs to not. He's the powerful one. He needs to make sure that she is more coddled and safe and protected. Yep. And his way of doing that is disassociating
and remembering
through
from
his
mother how much expectations burdened his mother. And so his response is
he's keeping Misaki safe through the lessons he learned from his mother by disassociating.
Mm.
And what Takaru learns is, that's the wrong way of going
about
things.
That's the wrong thing to do.
Okay, now I understand. It doesn't automatically go, he's the best husband in the world.
No, it doesn't.
So that is why we disagree with this portion about Takaru's, I will quote again the review. There's never an ounce of hope or character development and growth from him, end quote. So that is why we disagree with that point. Okay. The last paragraph, two paragraphs, the last paragraph of the sentence from the review. Honestly, I kind of started paying it less attention after the 30% mark. Now it makes sense!
Ah!
Now it... You were skimming at that point. You didn't read it. That has to be the issue. So
he read 30%.
All
and
of
then
this,
went and saw, like, he read a summary somewhere.
All of this just to read, you didn't read the book.
Yeah. Jesus Christ.
Well, no, I don't want to. No, it's less interesting. Okay, let's see if there's more to that. Started paying less attention after the 30% mark because of how boring everything was. By the half mark, I disassociated, like Takaru, and couldn't bring myself to care about anything or anyone. The politics were stupidly laughable, the character development non-existent, the writing continued being aggravating, and the plot seemed to become messy. This book is all hype for me. Everything is so underwhelming and unmemorable. End of review.
Man, I really hope your mother doesn't read your review. Oh, just a mother. Ugh. Terrible. She should have been a revolutionary. What? How low, how pathetic it is for her to want to be a mother. Ugh. Listen to how you sound.
And how
your mother would be very disappointed in you.
And how uninteresting is Mamoru instead of actually revolving, actually going through a revolution.
His review is revolting.
How uninteresting or interesting is it that Mamoru, instead of taking down the Empire and going, yeah, pew pew, goodbye, bad guys, whoop-chow, another YA where you're taking down the Empire, which we already know Red Rising is the best, but doing that, and like how... I would have loved to see that personally. Another kapachu papa poo, rather than Mamoru failing, but in the last glimmering light of hope, actually achieving the thing he wanted and the pressure that he received. Oh, you're going to the quote right now?
I want to go to the line because it's one of the best lines in this whole goddamn book.
You got to find the line. Oh, it is the best line. It's probably about here, maybe, where the page is bent 25 times. Maybe.
Thing is, it'll be really easy to find.
Yes.
It won't be that hard.
It's the very end of a chapter. You got it?
I'm assuming it's the end of the sword.
Yes. All right, here's the line of Mamoru, his death scene, his sequence, and the line it leaves you with.
I think that's still not there.
Oh,
I'm still going on.
You know what? I'll set you up again.
You'll set me up.
Let me David Attenborough this. So going through the forest of the book, you see a gazelle. Passing the gazelle, you see a lion. The lion is chasing the gazelle. Still chasing. We took a left turn down a river.
That's still there.
Over a mountain. And as you can see, the lion's approaching the gazelle. And as he is approaching the gazelle, takes a leap for the back left leg.
You know, how about Nick just cuts?
The back, no. I think this is necessary stuff. The back left leg is being approached by the lion as it opens its mouth. Displays its teeth.
Okay, am I not finding this?
The upper incisors next to those are the lateral incisors. Those are the left and right of the middle two teeth. I've learned that when I had an issue with my teeth and I was looking, oh, what is that tooth called? And bites the gazelle's back left hind leg. On the foot, the gazelle yelps, pulls out, leaps, escapes the second bite from the lion. And starts hopping away, and it's a ferocious chase. The lion springs and tries to get the gazelle. Springs again, but the gazelle hops and does a quick turn to
Nick,
the right.
Just cut, please.
And then, no, Nick, keep this in,
no,
please.
This is
Nick,
now too
Nick,
long.
This will
the
show.
The joke
Nick,
has gone way
Nick,
too long.
No, it gets funnier if it keeps going.
It doesn't.
And then,
it doesn't get funnier.
And then it goes for the right leg. This is where the twist happens. The lion now is going for the right leg of the gazelle.
How can I not fucking find this?
And
all right, there we go.
As the
fine.
Lion, thank God.
I finally found it. Jesus Christ. All right.
Wait, it's not at the end. It's like right there.
Yeah, I thought I was
that
looking at the
sense.
End. It's
okay,
not the
okay.
complete
Here's
end.
The line of Mamoru. Why so epic?
A decade later, a 15-year-old Hiroshi would become known as the youngest swordsman ever to master the Whispering Blade. What the world would never know was that he was the second youngest. By the time the Ranganese soldier registered the blood red flash of ice, it had already passed through his body. The sword was pure Matsuda, half Tabuki snow, half Mamaru's own blood, and it cut through the dragon killer like he was no more than air.
Alone on the mountainside, a whispering blade caught the last rays of a dying sun. It gleamed once, pointed skyward, as its first and only victim hit the snow. Then, its work done, the sword fell to mist. The sun sank into the sea.
Mic drop.
I fucking love it. Mic drop. Oh, so good.
So good. Oh, that is...
What a tragedy, but also...
That is how you end every character's arc. That is a masterful piece of fiction. And I don't think I've disagreed more with the review. Now,
what's that last sentence?
The last sentence of the review?
Yeah, because we only had the second to last.
I gave the last sentence. The last sentence was, the book is all hype for me. Everything is so underwhelming and unmemorable. That is the last sentence. Now, I dare say your review, sir, ma'am,
is not unmemorable.
Was not unmemorable. Your review was perhaps, I will remember this for quite some time.
Yeah.
Now, let's get into the second review.
No. This was a dedicated, we intended to do five.
It's an hour 15 in.
We're doing what?
We wanted to do five. Hey, you all let us know in the comments below. Maybe you don't want another one, Sword of Kaigan, where we go into the second review here. You let us know if you want another one of these, or...
Do you want us to do find the most in-depth positive review of something like Name of the Wind.
Or Wind and Truth.
Or Wind and Truth, and we respond to
or,
that.
Or, you know, so Lions of Our Son, which we love. Patrick Starr gave it a one star. Or, sorry, ooh. Patrick Leo gave it a one star.
We could do that.
Maybe we just respond to his and then send it to him. Be like, ooh, yeah.
I kind of like this. Yeah. This is going to be fun.
We're starting a thing on the BookTube
community.
We're starting
a little YouTube drama.
A little beef. Patrick, we're coming for you. Let us know. Did you guys like this? Let us know. We don't like this person.
No.
No.
Nah, I don't like his opinion. It's opinion.
I was trying to bring your arrogant energy of like.
Oh, sure.
Because
their
opinion's bad. Change that.
Got it. Cut. Flip switch here. Yeah. Your opinions are bad and you should feel bad as a person. Like, your inability to recognize the majesty of this piece of fiction really speaks to your inability to connect with others on a deeper level other than the transaction of money and the pitiful relationships that you currently have. Especially the relationship you may have with your own mother. Was that a little bit more arrogant and mean?
You don't like book I like, so I don't like you.
Okay. Let me be the villain, okay?
You said it way better. Bye, everybody.
Bye, y'all.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.